Hello
and welcome back.
So thank you everyone for coming back again. I was really happy with how the first episode went. The feedback I got from anyone that I did meet and talk to about it gave me a few pointers. So those of you who did, I will try and implement those. Thank you very much. But I was really happy we got just under 1,000 views, which is for some fellow just spewing is actually not bad. To be honest, of those people, it doesn't say how long people listen for, so you know that, but it doesn't matter. We're off to a start. But for those of you who are listening, thank you, because what I'm going to do at the start of each episode is going to be a little like pre spew, which is just kind of because when you do get talking in a group, you do kind of forget that you are talking to a crowd. So I just want to say thank you to those of you who are out there listening, and I hope that I can, you know, I don't know. Hopefully my spew can, I don't know, take up a bit of your time and you might enjoy it. But if you want, if you don't enjoy it, again, as I said the first time, fuck off, because I don't care. So last week we looked at the rugby. It was good. You know, I'm going to avoid the rugby talk today. It was great that Ireland beat New Zealand and the country was all on wheels, but we're not going to go into that today. What I would like to go into today is a very important topic that I think is getting talked about more, but I think this, with the podcast starting and the month that's in it, it would be good to kind of talk about the mental health of men and of anyone really. But the one that I think needs to be highlighted more is in men, young men, middle-aged men, old men, all kind of men. But I do think it is something that we need to talk about. So I will be having James Kenny and Tom DeYoung on with me now, but they're two lovely lads. I went to school with them, very smart lads, so I do hope to be able to draw a bit of kind of high IQ spew, what I like to call it. But I hope you enjoy, and welcome to the Inside Trail. Oh, the crack. Welcome to the second episode of The Inside Trail. This evening I'm joined by James Kenny and Tom DeYoung, as I have already said in my pre-spew. But just to give you another hello. So, Tom is studying financial mathematics in UCD. He is what I like to call entrepreneur slash spoofer. You know, he's got a couple of companies under his belt. He's doing a few trades, but the best thing about Tom is he is the Jaff Cake champ. I know Brian Egan, if you're listening, he might be a bit disgusted to hear that Tom is the Jaff Cake champ, but we actually are going to have to rehab that eating competition soon. But that is Tom.
Thank you very much for the intro, Dan.
And then as well, I have James here. James is studying human health and disease in Trinity. Anyone who knows James will agree with me in that he is one of the vainest men I've ever met, but there's nothing wrong with it. He looks after himself, plays a bit of hurling. When I was making these kind of player profiles, I was kind of thinking of stories that I could tell that would kind of show you kind of the kind of people that I'm dealing with here. And I was thinking, James, of the time that you got pepper sprayed in Croatia. But what I was thinking was that I actually don't remember. Well, I wasn't there, and I've kind of only gone off what everyone has kind of told me. And I was wondering, would you mind walking us through your experience?
All right. So we had like gone over to Croatia to ultra like, for the festival, whatever, 3 days, and it was the last night. We'd like been going at it for the weekend. We're all fucked, and we got in on the last night. Everyone was gargled, and we were dancing away, and it was like coming up to a big bass drop, and some fella like put his hand in, and like I had like a chain around like inside my top, and some fella like put his hand in and like ripped it off like off my neck. Like as the beat was dropping, it was so weird, and I like turned
on cue.
Turned around and was like, "What the fuck?" And just like got blasted. Like he had his hand out and just like sprayed me straight in the face. I was like so disorientated. Obviously, like you know, like especially when you lose your sight, like and it's dark and there's people everywhere. And I was like at the back of the group of the lads. Like I was like, "Oh fuck!" So then, Senan initially took me out to ER, like to the emergency tent, and they were like, I was like, oh bollocks,
I'm gone, I'm blind.
Yeah, I couldn't see for like 2 hours, but they were saying that some fellow was going around like pepper spraying like a load of birds and everything.
He'd done like birds.
He'd done like 12
random
12 people that sprayer,
what a random thing to bring into it.
Yeah,
that's awful.
So weird.
Yeah, it was
it was grim. Like, my hair was real long and it was like all in my hair. So I went back in and then was like dancing again and like went back into my eyes again. Like, and then fucking dark. Like,
alright, so on that, can I tell a story on you then? Yeah.
Oh, I suppose so.
The roast room was so open.
Like, I need a couple stories.
Yeah, keep it ticking.
Right, so this is a famous story about a zombie Dan, or Apocalypto Dan, as we like to say. So, few drinks in my house, small enough crowd, like about 10 people, and anyway, the usual...
Hang on, there was a few more than 10 of us, it was a little...
Nah, but it was late on, wasn't it? Like,
okay, it was about 10 of us left.
But this is still early days, you know, people finding their feet, people finding their drinking limits, and you kind of, you were ahead of your time a little bit, obviously, having a good track record, but so you decided to push a little bit more, so... Yeah, so a liter and a half of vodka later.
I don't think it was that much.
So I have a bit of a kind of, not a balcony, but it's like a kind of a porch kind of thing, and like there's about a good 2 meter drop onto concrete.
Yeah.
And so Dan, thinking he was doing the tightrope walk in the circus, decides to jump up the top. And long story short, bit of a
the old semi
backflip later, lands on his
more
head.
More back dark than about
the old C3, C4.
Yeah, so anyway, he lands on his head, unconscious. So we were 16, still mid-puberty, kind of trying to find our feet in the world. And Dan, unconscious on the ground, big lump in his head. And we bring him inside and... we're kind of, he's on the couch, we don't know what to do, kind of, he's still, like, asleep, and, it's been, like, half an hour now, and, like, we're thinking, geez, this is an ambulance job, so, we're just about to call the ambulance, and then you awaken from your slumber, but you can't speak, so, you can't speak, and you're like, and you're just, you're not making any sense.
Possessed,
and,
I don't remember that night at all, to be honest.
And so, yeah, so basically you were cabbage for about 20 minutes, and we thought you were gonzo. And then you started running around the place trying to eat Conorman Walsh, basically. And
he was provoking me, I do remember that.
Yeah. But anyway, to cut the story short, you're running around, and finally we were holding you down, you were near naked.
I remember this part.
And... anyway, a big splash of cold the beer cooler water we had in a bucket over your head.
Six of you pinning me to the floor.
Yeah,
pumped.
Anyway,
ice cold water.
You were going fucking mad.
Anyway, that knocked you out again. So this is the second knockout. We put you on the couch and we just kind of left you there simmer. And so then that was it. We woke up and... I've seen movies on zombies and stuff, but like, it was probably the closest encounter.
You wouldn't be able to drink that.
I couldn't, like, but to be fair, I don't think I could ever really drink that. I just used to pollute myself drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never even attempt to drink half that much spirits now. Like,
yeah.
I suppose...
Remember the liter days?
Oh yeah, sure. I used to, like, that was my drink. Like, but at 107 clicks, like, you're
fair.
You have to soak it up,
to be fair, you put it away now.
To be fair, well, you know,
heavy hitter.
Yeah, spirits will do that to you. Stay away from them, kids. But yeah, so I'm glad that before we started, my character is already, you know,
intact.
Diminished.
People know what they're dealing
with. Yeah, may as well get a bit of an insight in. But basically, the first topic that I did want to bring up, with it being it's November and everything like that, is mental health. So first of all, before we go into this, I want to give a huge mention to everyone who has gone and grown mustaches this month. I know to some people it might look, you know, stupid, why are they doing it? But every time you see someone with a mustache or someone posting, it does make you kind of think of what they're trying to do. I want to give a big shout out to Clontarf in the GAA club. I know that their whole team are doing it, which is great to see a whole team getting behind it. And then everyone else who, like, I think it'd be unfair to mention all the individuals who I know are doing it, but...
Yeah.
I've seen
loads of people in college, so many of
them.
Yeah.
Now, I do feel bad for those lads who can't grow mustaches, and it looks kind of grim,
effort.
But they are making an effort,
yeah.
And it is great, and they are raising money.
Yeah.
But what I kind of wanted to start off with talking about, kind of when it comes to mental health, is kind of the stigmas attached to it that I kind of just wanted to, you know, question them a little bit. Like, I find that a lot of people will be more than happy to, you know, if you have a sore knee, people go and see a physio. If you have a sore throat, you might go and see, I don't know, a doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, when people feel down, they feel this. something like shame, or they feel vulnerable or something like that, that they can't, you know, as a man, that they can't go and talk about it, which is just something that I just wanted to stick a pin in and say that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Because, like, me personally, and I feel like the best way to kind of put this across is to kind of share my own experience with it, is that, like I remember when I finished in secondary school, you know, you're on a high, you're coming out of school and you're whatever, but then, you know, I remember, like, I was going into college and I hated what I was doing. Everyone else had their thing that they were focusing on. Everyone had their...
seemed like their path was kind of...
like, everyone seemed like they had something set and they were going in the right direction. And I remember I was going to UCD, which is like 40 kilometres away from... that's not 40 kilometres at all, but it's like... It's a trek, regardless. But, like, I remember trekking over there every day and just hating it every single day. And, like, at this stage, I'm 100 and probably still 105 kilos. I'm not happy with my body. I'm not happy with how my life is going.
Yeah.
And I remember coming home from college one day and I kind of stopped going a little bit. And then I remember coming home from college one day and, like, I just sat down and just sobbed crying for, like, and to be honest, it was, you know, it was really, really good for me mentally. I felt good afterwards. But it was kind of then that was the first time that I was kind of shown what it's like to feel that down. And I remember always kind of thinking and hearing of people who, like, have depression or have, like, kind of experienced that. And I always remember kind of thinking, being like, ah, kind of cheer up, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's hard, because when there's that kind of darkness over you, and especially when you can't see a light, and when you're not kind of, like, at that time I didn't talk to anyone about anything like that. The only people who I ever really spoke to about it were, like, very limited, but definitely it would never have been something that I would speak about publicly. But I feel like, you know,
it's often hard as well, like, especially with something like that, for you to, like, go out and talk about how, like, you're, like, upset that, like, you feel like your shit's not together or whatever, like, and especially to, like, the people you'd be talking to probably would be your friends who, like, you were saying, did have their stuff together.
Yeah.
And so often, like, it'll be even more daunting to, like, try and, like, you know, share with people if you don't feel like they're in that boat at all.
You made a good point there about leaving school. It's like, in school, your decisions are made for you. You wake up every day, you have no choice, you go to school, you do your sport in the afternoon, and then it's study, especially in fifth and sixth.
Yeah.
Then you leave school and you're in college and boom, you wake up. Oh, do I have to go to this lecture? No.
Yeah.
And it's very easy. If you have all the decisions in your hands, it's easy to make the wrong ones consecutively every day.
You've got very few obligations.
Exactly. Mm. And that can lead to a spiral. And before you know it, you're in a dark place because you've made all these decisions. And there's so much responsibility and there's so much everything, you know.
I think that with school, like what you were saying there, is so fair, because for some people, like, it really suits them being in the clique of, like, having stuff laid out for them. And then for other people, they can't wait to get out of school so they can kind of, like, be more expressionate, like, do their own thing more.
Yeah.
And I guess for some people, like,
it's just different environments. And, like, in sixth year, you're top of the food chain almost, you know. You're kind of, you're in your little bubble, and everything revolves around the school, the teachers, and your outside kind of contact is very limited.
Yeah.
And boom, you're at the first year of college, and, you know, you get the impression no one actually gives a shit about it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, in school, teachers, you know, they look after you, why haven't you done your homework, and then you're in a hall of 300 people and this professor who's yapping some random shit and
to himself.
You may not know anyone in your college course, and, you know, before you know, you feel very unwanted. So that transition stage going from school to college is...
I feel like when you're kind of near that end of school, you're kind of nearly... you have the mentality of an adult, but you're still being treated like a child. And then when you go from that transition into, okay, you're now living as an adult, but you're used to being treated like a child, it can be a shock to the system. And I remember just having so much time, and I think that's probably where I probably went down. I didn't fill my time, like, wisely, would have kind of upset me a bit. But just going back to this, one of the main things that I find now for my own personal mental health is that I know that people say, you know, just talk to someone, but like I'm very lucky and I'm privileged to have such great friends, and we have, you know, like as I said earlier, we have like a little wolf pack, you know, like I do consider a lot of my close friends, like I would call them, like I'd say, what's up, bro?
It's a big
you know?
Family.
You know, we are like a family, but then I do understand the other side of that is that there are people out there who don't have that, and that's kind of like, what do those people do? And that's why I think you shouldn't only be able to talk about this stuff to those really close people. Like, let's say, for example, I bumped into someone and I saw they were on crutches. They'd be like, oh, you hurt your leg, blah, blah, blah. And we'd more than happily talk about ligaments, ankle joints, anything like that.
How are you feeling? How are
you
getting on?
But
what's the treatment? Yeah, everything like that.
But if I were to bump into someone and, you know, they looked a bit sad to me. Now, like, if I, like, let's say it's not me doing it, it's someone else, and they, like, they mightn't ask. I don't know whether it's because some people don't want to have that conversation, or whether it's a whole, I don't know how to approach it. So whether it's a case of that we need to kind of more equip people in how to have these conversations, or whether it's a case of just getting them started. Because, like, what I found recently, and ever since I've kind of thought about this more, I've been trying to bring it up a little bit more, like, we were out last night, and I wasn't drinking, but you know, I was chatting to a few lads, and lads who I wouldn't really know that well, and I was just kind of testing the water. I just wanted to, you know, how are you getting on, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually interesting how when you do ask someone that question, a lot of people will talk to you.
Nothing beats someone asking, like, especially if you're having a proper shit day, and someone like takes like the time just to be like, you know, like, it's so easy to just be like, oh, what's up, like, but if someone's actually like, how are you?
Guys, the difference between saying what's up and, you know, how are you getting on, how are you genuine, I think it's the invisibility of it as well, you know, like you said about the broken leg, you know, it's there, but, with mental health, it's not so, you know, at the surface, and that's why, like you said, like, asking someone how they're getting on, and even a 2-minute conversation on kind of how they're feeling and whatever is kind of really important.
I think as well the fact that like a broken leg has always been a broken leg, where like something like depression hasn't always been
like, it's only kind of come into it.
Like, now we're starting to take the steps to move into like treating something like depression and stuff as a disease, and like to be more objective with it, where before, like, dude, like, even in our parents' time, like, it was something that wouldn't have been discussed.
So even just on that, like, a lot of people will misinterpret like the word depression as an emotion rather than an illness or a disease. So I know you have you study this kind of stuff. So can you kind of give me a bit of an insight into, you know, as a disease, what exactly does it entail? Like,
yeah, well, like, I think people maybe, like, especially if you don't do science or something, it's often like, you wouldn't really think about like what's actually going on, but like in your brain, like, there are like dysregulations, like, you know, like there's axes in your brain like that are involved with like hormone release, everything like that, you know, like you know, your hypothalamus, your pituitary, like there's like an axis between the two of them that regulate like hormone release and stuff like that. And like in depression, it's been shown that like these markers are off, like, without getting too into it, but like there is physical changes in your brain, like, there's a
chemical imbalance with it,
rather than just like someone feeling down for like no reason. Like,
and I think that's a big thing, and I think people who do struggle with, you know, a mental health issue and depression would be kind of, they wouldn't really like people using their illness as a way of people just describing that they're a little bit sad today.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's kind of where people, it's very hard to kind of know where you are in terms of, because your emotions are your emotions, they're not black and white. But I think it is important though that people kind of don't just kind of throw it around, because
I'd agree with that.
Like, I think if more and more people keep saying, oh, I'm a little bit depressed because it's, you know, like, for no particular reason, then I feel like for those people who actually do deeply struggle with it just kind of takes away from what they're dealing with a little bit.
It's difficult to know if there's actually, like, you know, a chemical imbalance in someone's brain, or that, you know, like you said, they're just kind of having a bad day or whatever.
But I suppose that this, regardless of whether each of it is, it doesn't really matter. But what I'm alluding to is that I think there should be a bit more, like, people should be a bit more discretionary, is that the word, about kind of saying
a bit more reserved. I think, yeah, that's, I always thought about that, because they, like, we would have like quite a good few like lectures and stuff like that, and they have like, there's this thing called the DSM, which is like, it's basically like a guidelines for psychiatric disorders,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, has like criteria, so it's like, if you meet like this number of criteria, like, you're like said to be clinically like depressed, right. Let's say, for example. Well, I was thinking in my head, it was like, one of them is like feelings of like anhedonia, which is like lack of pleasure for like a sustained period of time. But like,
yeah.
It's probably hard even for people who do feel down. Like, how do you judge when like you feel down like enough to like warrant,
yeah.
that, like, or to go, like, like, maybe you might be like, oh well, my mood will change, like,
yeah.
tomorrow, like, I'll wake up tomorrow and feel better. Like,
yeah, it is. It's a tough one to kind of differentiate between the fit, like, the actual science behind it, and
yeah.
just the kind of, I don't know, the bro science.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, that's mm-hmm. so fair. And then especially like if like you're feeling down because of something, like, so just
yeah.
say like whatever it is that's caused this, like,
yeah.
will it go away? Like, will it not?
Well, I think regardless of even, you know, scientifically you're depressed or not, I think it does, like, the cure for both at the end of the day is, you know, what you were saying, Dan, is, you know, having your tight-knit circle, you know?
Yeah.
And that's so important, because if you have good friends that you can talk to, and, you know, you can speak about your problems, you know, it's great. Even them saying, how are you, and you know,
yeah.
telling them the actual truth rather than...
It can just make it, I think, a little bit easier. And whether it is that it's a long-term problem that you are struggling with, or whether it is just a couple of days that you've had bad,
yeah.
I feel like... just reaching out to someone, it's like, I think we all just kind of need to keep an eye out for each other a little bit
exactly,
more.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the last kind of, well, one of the last bits on this that I do want to look at is like part of the male persona that I feel a lot of people will kind of look at and like say in the male persona, well, or what it would have been kind of mainly before our generation. I feel like we're like the intro.
Like,
kind
of,
it's like, you know, hiding emotion, isolating themselves. And, you know, it can be the most intelligent and strong-minded people who you would never, ever, ever think would be, you know, have like a low self-esteem and doubt
yeah.
themselves. But you don't really know what goes in behind those doors. But I think for all those men out there who do, who think that hiding their emotions is, you know, the way to deal with it, I would just like to say that... I think that it's going to be very hard to grow up and hold in your emotions
yeah.
like that. And I think you'll feel better. And like as an overall, you'll just be able to open up more. And I feel like when you do overcome something like that, it'll be like you'll feel a lot better than, you know yourselves when there's something bothering you and it kind of bottles a little bit. And like you
yeah.
can only imagine what it's like to do that for years.
And then at the same time, like with that, like it probably is really hard for people to talk about. So then for like their mates and their friends, it's like a bit of an onus on them as well to be like, you know, to be open, like for like if like one of us or one of our friends did have something going on, for you to be the type of person that like they could actually come to you and be like, listen, like, like whatever's going on, like, and you're there, like you're receptive rather than just
yeah.
like.
And again, when you have your tight knit circle, you know, it's they know you so well that, you know, you see them, you know, nearly every day, every
yeah.
week, and when something's going wrong, 9 times out of 10, they can kind of see
yeah.
it, and like that might, you know, instead of you, it's really hard to say when things are going wrong, but they could say, listen, you know, don't beat around the bush here.
I can
clearly
see
tell something's up, and. That's when your friends, you know, they're really useful in those situations.
Yeah.
And then just before we move on this, I just wanted to kind of just say a little word to Pieta House that they've worked with over 20,000 people in Ireland, and they've 8 different centres around the country, and it's completely free. So if you ever do have something that you want to talk about, and if you feel like that you don't want to say it to one of your mates, or you don't want to say it to someone and you want a neutral opinion, like this is a completely, like, it's you and someone else, like they're not, if you do feel like that's the way that you want to do it, it is there. And just to put like a couple of statistics on this, just to really hammer it home, in 2017, almost 400 suicides in Ireland, and 80% of those were men. And since 2014, it's been kind of in between 405 and, you know, 400, 420, 490. And it's still 80% men the whole time. So I just want to kind of hammer that home at the end, just to how many, you know, brothers, dads, cousins, best friends that will fall, you know, victim to this, that it isn't something that you just hear about someone that happened. Like, it is close to home, you know, it is happening. And I just really, you know, for all the men out there listening, regardless of your age, it's okay, it's okay to not be okay. And I think, I know that's not my slogan, but it's someone's, and whoever it is, they're dead right.
Bless up.
Bless up is right. So I know that that's kind of
WIG in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. Our next topic that we did want to kind of to talk about today is the correlation between happiness and money. So I think a lot of people will have this kind of perception that I'm going to make loads of money and I'm going to keep making money, and that's going to be how I'm going to make myself happy. And don't get me wrong, if I make a bit of quid, I am happy. But it's about, is that the way it should be always? Like, is that the only way you can be happy?
Very subjective thing.
Yeah,
it's a difficult one, because, like, it's the old mammy's tale, like, oh, you know, yeah. money doesn't make you happy, you know? But I think there is a limit to that, because, like, there's actually a bit of science behind this, is that when you start at zero, you know, you've zero salary, zero happiness, there is an actual correlation between the amount of money you have and happiness. Because obviously if you're really, really poor and you're really struggling, you have debt piling up and everything, you know, it's difficult to see the kind of silver linings of that. But there's studies being done that when you get to a certain point, so a certain salary, you know, that you're content with, the happiness then levels off.
Yeah.
So, you know, between a certain salary and then going outwards with that, you know, happiness doesn't really increase at the same level it did at the bottom of the scale. So, kind of, there's a difference between, you know, happiness and opportunity. Like, personally, my belief on that is, you know, sometimes you do need money to buy yourself, you know, opportunity to do the things that make you happy.
Yeah.
You know? So if you don't have money to do the things that make you happy, well, then you may struggle and you may not be happy. But I think, you know, people chasing these, you know, million-dollar dreams and everything, is like, there's no scientific evidence to back that that'll make you happy.
Yeah.
That buying your yacht and buying your gaff in Portugal will make you happy. There's no evidence to actually show that. But towards the lower end of the scale...
Buying your gaff in Portugal. Sorry, go on.
Few caps.
Yeah. How many caps? Three caps?
I think...
But there is no evidence, you know? Like,
no, it's fair. I think on that, like, what you were saying about how, like, if you're, like, kind of at the lower end of the scale and you've debt building up and you're stressed, obviously you're not going to be happy. But I guess that's because you're in that setting where, like, you have debt and stuff. Where, if, like, I'm not saying it's the case for any of us, but if you scale it back down, like, way down, where, like, you're probably much poorer, but you're in, like, a kind of... a different setting where, like, there isn't the cars and the yachts and everything like that. Maybe, you know, like, in different, like, wherever, like, maybe there's happiness, like, without having to have, like, these material things. And then do we put, like, a huge amount of emphasis then on that kind of
thing? I think a lot of people have that, like, they aspire to have a certain, and it's kind of that drive that they're kind of trying to get there. Whereas I think... a lot of people, their drive will be that money to go and get that, and for some people it's to provide for a family, it is to get money and to get things and to do that. But it's when you look at people, like, what I find is, like, I'm a delivery driver, right? And people who have it's just with money, I find that, like, if I'm doing a delivery to, like, a poor area, they'll always tip you, and they're always a little bit nicer. They're always kind of like, they kind of understand the money a little bit more. I don't know what it is, but
like,
then you go to some big rich estate and you get the old nose up.
Yeah, see you later.
Out the door, cheers, send for the tip, mate.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
getting egged like later on tonight.
But I do think that, like, I don't know if it's how scientifically I could prove it, but I think that sometimes poor people can be happier because they don't have that that whole part of them that wants to make a lot of money because that opportunity just isn't there. Like, for example, James, when we were in India, like, some of those families that we met in India were the poorest of the poor, and I remember having great crack with all of them, and they were all, you know, on cloud nine. But like, and a part of that is that, like, they, like, in their head, they're not trying to make a load of quid.
And they don't know.
They just don't know any better. And like, they grow up in, like, slums and in these you know, these, like, less than ideal housing arrangements and that kind of thing. But they still have an absolutely amazing time, and that's one thing that I've always taken back from being in India and living there, is that, like, some people who don't have that, where they're just trying to get something else and do something else, a lot of those people who do live and enjoy what they do have, they do kind of, there's a lot more, like, I feel like when you take money out of it, it can kind of allow for a bit more like love and, you know, friendships and enjoyment and joy. Whereas I think sometimes it's just that nastiness, something to do with money, that it's just trying to take it from.
Well, yeah, it's caused most of the wars.
It's pretty much the downfall of the entire human race.
Yeah,
you know what? It's a big call there. I'm saying about like, if you're working and, like, you get that, like, pay rise and you go up, and then you eventually reach a point where you have that money, like. You can see how happiness is justified and warranted in that, because you put in work, like, it's a satisfaction.
Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, exactly.
So then, like, when you were talking there, I was thinking, like, would you say, like, you know, like, just say you suddenly came on money.
Yeah.
Right? So you won the lotto or something. So you went from 0 to 100, like, essentially, like.
Real quick.
Can you find happiness there? Because that's purely material, like.
But there's people who've gone on air who won the lotto and have said that
it's ruined their lives.
And loads of them are broke as well.
Exactly.
That's because a load of people hear that they've won the lotto and like, gives a few hundred thousand, like, cheers, Uncle Jim. Like,
yeah, people will treat them differently, you know, their friends will become too friendly, and like, you know, I'd say it's
their granny's come in and they're gonna dip into the piggy bank.
People become bitter.
Yeah.
Granny wants a new me.
Two new knees, come on, man.
And new lips.
Yeah. Get her cheeks filled as well. Cheers, Lenny.
I do think it does come back to, though, like, you know, like, what makes you happy? And I think, like, instead of money, I think doing things that give your life meaning, that's what makes you happy. So, you know, whether it's doing your college degree, you know, throwing the hat up in the air and going, geez, you know, that was really, that was really meaningful to me. Or, you know, it could be, like, you know, you have the example of these top CEOs and Elon Musk and all, and, like, yes, they're loaded, but, like, maybe not making this money, but doing the things they're doing in these companies, maybe that gives their life meaning and makes them really happy, you know? Yeah. And the money is just, it's a background noise that just comes, it happens to come with it, you know?
It's a second,
And, like, yeah, exactly. And I think that's so important, is that, like, whether you're at the low end of the scale or the high end of the scale, it's all about, you know, does your life, you know, doing things that give your life meaning, and well, if these meaningful things require money and you don't have it, will that cause impact, you know, your happiness?
I always feel like someone like Elon Musk, though, is like one of the most burdened men, like, ever. Like,
he's just like the whole world is looking at me like, shit, what are we doing? Like, how are we going to get out of this?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever heard him, like, talk about how he can't, like, turn off his, like, mind? Like,
yeah, he just keeps going.
Lies in bed and, like, just
loses sleep over, like, new inventions and stuff.
Over equations stuff.
Yeah. To be fair to him, he's had a bit of crack, though, off the last couple of months.
Yeah.
His tweets and
he
all
seems
that.
To be just... He seems to just not
I'm
care
not
at the minute. He's just like, but just going back to that quickly, I was looking at the Forbes list of, like, the top 10 richest men or richest people in the world. They just all happen to be men. Warren Buffett, right, $84 billion, right, and so far he has given $32 billion to charities. $32 billion. I was just like, that is so. I'm going back to that. Those people with that amount of money, I suppose they're probably harder to come by when you get near the top. But there are some of them who are still trying to look out for, you know, trying to give back and stuff.
Mark Zuckerberg
Mark Zuckerberg.
Deep down, they're good people. Like, they're just, and
some of them. I think some of them can just be obsessed with figures.
Yeah, and be ourselves about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'd rather buy their yacht or whatever than say,
let's race Lambos up the up Granville Street. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Boys just in Cabana. Like.
Yeah. So I think we've kind of hashed that out. Now our next bit is one of my favorite bits, is bring your own gag. So which one is rock, paper, scissors? Let's see who's going first.
Rock, paper, scissors. All right, you're up, mate.
Okay.
Oh, this is
really... Apologies to any Americans before we start. Right, so these two American girls walk into a bar, right? And they go up to the bar, and there's an Irish bartender there. And they're like, can we get two Irish pipe bombs, please? You know those, like, the shots, whiskey, Baileys, and all? And the bartender's like, no, like, definitely not. Like, that's so offensive, like, to me. Like, and they're like, oh, please, give us, like, two Irish pipe bombs. Well, like, we really want to get them. He's like, no. So he chose, like, Sambuca in a glass, like, lights it on fire. You know, that's flaming Sambuca. And he goes, there's two burning towers for you.
Nice. And Tom?
Right, yeah, Jesus, mine's not too well. It's a little other end of the spectrum. Apologies to anyone easily offended by these horrible jokes. But what is long and hard and full of semen? Submarine.
Semen. Right, while we're on these kind of little things, your life hack, basically, as I had introduced this the last day, is basically something in your life that you think is vital and that you think that everyone should know how to do this in their life and it'll benefit them.
Alright, well, mine is probably, like, more from lads, like, who eat a lot. And, like,
i.e. our whole friend group.
Yeah. And, like, I know, like, loads of lads that we hang out with don't have time to eat in the morning. So what I do is get eggs, like, depends how hungry you are, maybe five. Throw them into a bowl,
eat the whole
bit of milk, like, whisk them up real quick, throw them on the pan, and then when they're on the pan, right, get, like, Flavin's porridge out and, like, shake out the bag on the egg so it's, like, covered, like, nicely covered, and put the lid on the pan, let it cook, and the eggs will, like, rise up through the outs, make, like, it's like a, I don't know whether it's like a pizza.
You need to name. I think you need to put a name on.
Yeah,
this.
I don't know what to call it. That's pretty ridiculous.
It sounds kind
of intense. Like, bit of maple syrup, strawberries, blueberries, and it's like very good macros and like 800 calories, and eat it in like 7 minutes. Oh, cheers! Yeah.
You know what I have for breakfast?
That's what I do every morning. Like,
wow.
I have a can of Monster and a Rowley.
Man, listen to this. One of the fellas I work with.
Just good.
I work with is addicted to coke. Not like.
I know a couple of people like that.
Coca-Cola, and he has his breakfast every morning is a Rowley and a bottle of Coke.
Rowley and a bottle of Coke. Jesus Christ.
Jeez, how
dark
on him.
Dark is that?
Like? He needs to see a dentist.
Yeah.
Tom.
Well, yeah, mine's other end of the spectrum again. Then just I'm really shit at, like, you know, names. So I meet someone. I was like, oh, what's the crack? And then I see him, like, you know, a couple of weeks later, and I meet him again. I'm like, what's the crack, mate? And, like, it's the worst thing you can ever say to a person, because immediately they know you have no idea what their name is, and they've called you by name.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, it's not really a hack, but I think it's, like, it's kind of key, is the minute you meet someone, is just try and say their name in the conversation as much as possible. So you go, Harry, James, my name's James, my name's Tom, and then when you're chatting to them, say, James, what's the crack, James?
Yeah.
And you just, if you say it 10 times, the next time you see them, I guarantee you'll remember their name, because it's such an awful thing.
There's nothing worse than meeting someone and not knowing their name.
And you know what? What I think half of it is like, when you meet someone for the first time, you're, like, going up to them, you're like, oh, what's up? You're saying hello to them, and you're, like, looking at them. So they're like, my name's blah blah, and it's gone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Have
as
a clue.
You're, like, talking to them.
And the thing as well is, when you haven't met someone before, you're also a little bit nervous. You're like, oh shit, don't embarrass myself here. So you're thinking about that. You forgot about his name before he even said it. You know? And there is, like you said, there's nothing worse, because when you see someone for the fifth time, now you still don't know the last name, right? And you're like, right, it's time number five now. If I, you know, even ask him for his name, he's going to hate me for the rest of his
life. Poor Vladimir is getting shafted. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if it's a female. Like,
no, you never forget a female's name with a stuff.
No, not me.
Right, so that is going to bring us on to our trivia. So again, we're going to have to do a rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first.
Let's go.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, who's first?
I'm up first, yeah.
Okay, Tom, which single by Queen first reached number one in the UK charts?
Queen.
Oh my god.
It's quite relevant at the minute. Like,
I'm an idiot. I know Queen and I know his songs. I'm just trying to think.
Don't tell me.
What's his only famous song?
What do you mean? Like, it's Queen. It's a load of famous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, jeez.
I mean, there's a movie out about it.
Yeah, it's like, my dad's gonna be beat.
Are you poofing it, like?
Yeah,
it's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I'm a fucking gobshite. I react to this trivia because, like, I have the shittest common knowledge.
I know.
Can we do it together?
No, unfortunately not. Okay.
That was horrible.
Okay, which country has .cy at the end of their website? As in Ireland, we have .ie. So what has .cy? Think of country names.
Wait, sorry, is this asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm up first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, shit.
You just do 10 and then...
.cy... Jesus, that could be fucking anything. Have I ever seen that before? Czech Republic.
Cyprus.
Oh, fuck.
That's it, yeah. Okay, how many players are there on a...
Fuck you, that's good. Who looks up a fucking website from Cyprus? Like, you're trying to buy Kalashnikovs.
Yeah.
Black market job.
How many players are there on the court in a game of basketball?
On the court at one time? Oh my god. I'm actually so stupid. I'm going to say 5, and 5 is 10.
Yeah, 10, correct. Well, hey, we got a right answer. Now, how many degrees does each section of a dartboard measure?
How many degrees?
Okay. How many numbers on a dartboard? Dark.
Okay. It's gotta be like equal. So, how many numbers on a dartboard? Wait.
Picture a dartboard.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. All right. So it's 20 numbers on a dartboard. So 360 divided by 20 is.
You're meant to be studying finance and maths. You're not doing well here.
Okay. 18 degrees.
Yeah, ping. Nice.
Nice. Jeez,
I wonder if that one.
This one actually probably suits you as well. What do the letters AC mean on the calculator?
AC? Like the actual like meaning of it.
No, what does AC stand for on the calculator?
Okay. All clear.
Yeah, bingo.
Easy.
Nice.
Casio King.
Now, who performed the theme music to James Bond's Spectre?
Okay, so which one's Spectre now, for fuck's sake? Oh, it's gone.
Have you got it?
Okay, so I have. Okay, so this is my answer, but...
No, you can't just start throwing shit at me and then if I say yes or no to it, you have to pick an answer. Like.
Okay, Spectre. So there was Spectre and then fucking Skyfall. Ooh, Skyfall. So Spectre came after Skyfall, so... I'm saying Adele, Skyfall, and Sam Smith for Spectre.
Yeah, bingo, yes, bingo.
Shoot him a gap.
In which U.S. state is Alcatraz?
Oh, that's down south. That is south. This is just, yeah. Okay, so what do we have down south? We have Texas, we have Florida, so... New Mexico is down south, is it? So,
Just pick
one. Okay, New Mexico.
No, it's California. It's just off by the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco,
so
I think.
It's even near.
No. Okay, what is the highest possible hand in a game of poker?
Royal Flush.
Boom. In what year was the Concorde first flown?
That fucking mad French joke. 19... That hasn't been around for a while.
That poofed
a bit. I actually have a bit of spew on it after.
Yeah,
I did
a backflip or something in the air.
Like, any idea? 1969. It was last flown in October 2003 and was first commercially flown in 1976 by British Airways and Air France, and no one else ever flew it commercially.
Come back.
I doubt it. Its top speed was Mach 2, which is 2,180 kilometers per hour, twice the speed of sound.
Jesus Christ!
I used to run that fast playing a bit of union, like.
Straight to
the back. They used to call me Concord.
Straight to the top of the queue and fucking Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that's what they call me, Concord, and twice the speed of sound.
48,
okay.
Is that it? Yeah.
Last question. Okay. How many sides has a tetradecagon?
Tetradec. So tetra meaning five. No. Four. Tetradec. So deck meaning ten. So four. Four tens. Has 40 sides.
It's 14.
Oh my god!
You were on. Like I could see where you were going with it.
I was probably
going
to multiply as well. Yeah. Why did I multiply that?
I'm not sure.
It sounded like such a big fucking.
Yeah. Tetradec.
Okay. James, you ready?
Sorry, what was your score?
Your score there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nice. Ah, you beat Fee.
Oh, nice.
Nice, mate. That was good.
Okay, Kenny, ready?
Yeah.
US presidents are elected for a maximum of how many terms?
Two.
Yeah.
Mate, are you messing?
Yeah, I know that.
Mate, what's the square root of 10?
Hold your hand.
Yeah, fair. Come on, there's
okay,
one.
Fair.
All right.
There's a few good
ones. The inventor of the Rubik's Cube was from what country? See, well, like,
you
had your US China. Presidents. No, Hungary.
What?
The Mariana Trench. I don't give a shit, Nick. Pipe down. The Mariana Trench, the deepest known location on Earth, is in which ocean?
Pacific.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe so. Irish Sea.
Samuel L. Jackson. What does the L stand for?
Mate, where do you pull these out of?
Mate, the L.
I would love to know this website. Yeah,
just
yeah.
Bang into Google.
Lawrence.
Pub quiz. Leroy. Now, I feel kind of bad that this is a question, but it's just the way that they get accumulated. The Jurad line is a border between which two countries?
You don't know that.
Like. I do.
No, you don't.
I'm reading it.
No, just go to the next one.
No, I can't. Like, they're pre-made. They're randomly selected.
The Jurad line.
Yeah.
Between two countries.
Yeah.
Has anyone in the room heard it?
The Jurad, like NORAD, like.
I don't know what NORAD means. But I don't know. I'll give you a clue because it is quite hard. They're Middle Eastern countries. Will you stop over there? Come on.
Between two countries, isn't
yeah.
it? Alright, Israel and Iraq.
Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Oh, mate, you're so
who
stupid.
Created Who created the cartoon of Garfield? The cat. But just because I'm not asking you questions about the fucking human genome, like, sorry.
Garfield.
Like,
mate,
what do you mean?
I don't know, pass.
Alright. How many furlongs are there in a mile?
14.
8.
Dark.
On what day did the French celebrate Bastille Day? Mate.
It's July.
Nah,
it?
Mate. You pipe down.
It's July.
I'll give you a clue. It's Jenna's birthday.
I know, yeah. That doesn't help me.
Oh, it's awful.
It's in the summer.
It's the only way he knows Jenna's birthday is it happens at some stage
it's
during
July,
the summer.
It's July, isn't it?
Yeah, it's July at some time. So you're going to have to give me a date. Like. Wait, stop asking Jenna when it's birthday. By the way, we do have Jenna in the background here, but he's doing bits on his laptop. But it's real awkward now because Kenny doesn't know his birthday. So
11th.
No, 14th.
Oh, close.
Okay, RN is the chemical symbol for which element?
Radon.
That was
nice.
Now, in what year were the Nobel Prizes first awarded? 1901. So James, that is a total of 3.
Sorry.
You, to be fair, fucked him up there.
Yeah, yeah, fair, but like, fair. They just randomly get selected.
Yeah, fair.
So, oh, sorry, and I do have to give a mention that the last time I did misread a question for Connor, so instead of 3, he's going to be on 3.5.
Oh, that means...
Which technically means he... So our current standings are...
That's your fault.
Yeah.
Are Tom at 5, Beatrice Smith at 4, Jenna at 3.5, and Kenny at 3. Nice. Yeah, so now we have one last bit of conversation here. Mobile phones, right. If you have your phones there, right, I want you to take out your phone. And go into your settings.
Oh, you sending me something?
No, just go into your settings, right?
Here, I'll air drop you something.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I'm on a Samsung here. So
and there's a search bar up the top, right?
I'm on
fucking
Samsung. Yeah. Well, I know what you're going at.
Yeah,
so alright. Anyway.
And just type in screen time, right? When you're searching?
Yeah, it won't come.
What do you mean?
I have something similar here.
You need to update your phone, mate. Anyway, right, we'll just do
it. Ah, mate, this is the fucking iOS 46.
Anyway, this basically shows me how many, technically days, but how many hours I spend on my phone each week, and it's actually disgusting. Like, in the last 7 days, right, have a guess how many hours I've spent on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp? Okay, so a week,
In a week, how many hours I've spent on, just with WhatsApp, like, open on my screen?
4.4.
7.
Hours a year.
7 hours. Instagram, 5.
Holy shit. Wow. And how much in total time being on your phone?
You see, like, Insta, you could be like...
This says I spend 4.5 hours on my phone a day.
Jesus Christ.
I do spend a lot on Google Maps a day, but that doesn't...
It'd be class for someone to, like, walk along with you and just, like, you know, for, like, 24 hours to see, like...
It's an addiction though, do you know?
I'm addicted to my phone.
Because 100%. I'm actually not going to lie to you, right? I haven't had Snapchat or Instagram for a month because I said to myself, I need to delete this because it's actually becoming a chronic addiction. So I deleted it. But I still have this app called Checky, tells you how many times you check your phone. I don't have Instagram or Snapchat and I still check my phone about 100 times a day. 100 on
What's
average.
What's the app?
And does that include
it's called
like...
Checky. So, okay, so today I'm on 51. So...
That's a good thing for people to hear. Yeah.
So, like, I spend a lot of my time on Instagram and Snapchat before, but I was like, you know what? Like, there's actually no point. And the funny thing is the last month I felt like I've missed absolutely nothing. And, like, you could spend your day, like, just scrolling through Instagram and
just sending the boys memes. Like, that's all I do all day.
But it's actually, it's kind of, you know, it's detrimental because... It shortens your patience, and like, unfortunately, Dan, I guarantee you, like, you know, if people have gotten to this stage in the podcast, give yourself a fucking slap on the back because you know, in this day and age, people are looking for short, sharp bursts of entertainment, and like, it's
so just a shout out to anyone who's actually still here and listening to this far.
Yeah, exactly, because
nice attention span.
And like the same with Joe Rogan stuff, you know, people only look at the little snip clips. They don't look at the 3-hour thing because they don't physically have the patience to sit down and listen.
Unless I get them walking to college. That's how I listen to that whole thing.
Exactly.
Like if I was at home, I wouldn't.
And like it's kind of sad, you know. And links even back to the mental health thing we were talking about. You know, it's. People are looking for this short, sharp kind of like entertainment, like brain stimulation.
And they're not living in the real world.
In the real world. And then it goes, this translates over then to health, you know? Like, you go to the gym on a Monday, you don't see any results after the gym. You go to the gym on Tuesday, you don't see any results. Wednesday, no results. You don't see results till a couple of months after of accumulating every single day.
Yeah.
But people, because they're impatient, they only look for short, sharp bursts of, you know, they want to see immediate goals. Mm. They want to see immediate things.
And people
just get fat.
Because everyone has these little things where you just click and you can do anything.
Yeah.
Like these are, like, the way technology is going, right? If you see what, like, current, like, you know, 10 and 12-year-olds are sitting in front of an iPad for, like, 3 hours a day, right? When I was 10 or 11, actually, I'm probably not a good example, but when most people were 10 or 11, they were probably outside, you know, just doing like
playing
footy. I just
sending it.
It's actually gonna be terrible when that, like, I feel like we just missed it.
Yeah.
But we narrowly, still yeah. but we're still kind of in it, but we just missed that kind of really.
We're a little bit too old yeah. to be yeah. like.
We're a little bit too old that we yeah. just missed it, but we're kind of we're too young in that, like, our, like some of the old people having a breeze. What's yeah. going on? I think they're kind of lucky in a way.
Like, even yeah. like in school, like so, like in Belvoir now, like all the first years get iPads right at the start. So like, yeah. it is kind of buying into like.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It's your right. phone is yeah. an extension of your hand almost at this stage. You know, for people.
Man, if I don't have my
and it's an extension of your mind.
If I don't have my phone on me, I'll be like my first thing to do is always just go like that. Where's my phone?
So, yeah.
I guarantee you. Okay. You find everyone and you take their phone and you smash it off the ground. Sorry, poor example, right? Okay, let's say you forget your
take
phone at home.
Everyone. We're gonna be smashing a fucking ton of phones.
You forget your phone at home, you're anxious. Yeah. You are like, shit, I am going, like, there's gonna be a fucking
I can't be trying
disaster
it's,
here.
But it's just I don't know what it is. It's just because you think that someone might need you for something
it's
or
FOMO.
You're missing something
it's
happening.
FOMO, yeah.
It's like I wanna live in that cloud. Fucking get me involved.
Yeah,
like.
It's fucked. Yeah. yeah.
I think that's why like a lot of friendships and stuff like that are formed online, they just don't have the same
they
depth.
Don't have the same meaning. Yeah.
Like lads who you kind of hang around, but we had this conversation before about when you're kind of spending time with someone and then you kind of like grow together as a friendship, but like when you're away from each other, you can kind of go back and kind of still,
yeah.
when you come back, you're still very close friends. But well, people who like just constantly texting each other, constantly doing this, like you're not forming anything.
No.
Like you're,
it's fluff.
Like, you're not even, like, if you read someone's text messages, very few people I read their text messages in their accents. There's a few that I do, and I won't say who they are just because they sound a bit weird. But, like, you're not, like, you're just reading in your head, you're just reading off these, just a hypothetical conversation. Like,
yeah.
it's not even a real thing. Like, no one
that's
said
why anything. Voice messages are still, like, quite funny. Like,
yeah. I love
voice
you messages.
You get the, like, the actual expression.
You get the passion behind
yeah.
the message. Like, because, like, you can't really tell a story via text because it's not the same. Whereas
yeah.
a good VM, like, you feel
yeah.
the passion. You
like,
feel the hunger.
You're
and
changing.
It's getting started
yeah.
straight
your
order.
Voice changes, you know, there's pauses,
yeah.
you know, it's absolutely fantastic.
Roger.
But also just on that as well, on social media, like, because obviously the main reason you're on your phone is because you're looking at your Snapchats, you're on Instagram
yeah.
having a scroll. But, like, something that Instagram is kind of worrying is, I've just only realized this recently, is, like, have you ever actually seen someone put up a story or a photo that actually highlights how shit their life is? It's always
no.
about how,
it's not.
How,
I agree.
No,
I
but
agree.
If you actually
I do.
Break this down.
It's everyone trying to show off. It's like, look,
I'm
doing good.
I one or two.
But if you actually... If you actually break it down...
All right.
If you actually break this down here... Every time I go to Instagram, it's like, oh my god, you know, like...
A picture of a beach, a picture of...
Cappuccinos!
Oh yeah, I love coffee, and you know, look how great my coffee is.
Oh, look, I love...
Don't
like,
waste the old coffee
yeah.
stuff.
No, but I'm just... What I'm trying to say is, you know, if you are feeling, you know, down in a day... And you see that like 3/4 of your following on Instagram is off in Barbados.
Are all having a smashing
day.
Are
all having a great.
You
are all having a great. That's gonna make you feel even shitter. But it's all you know. It's all fake because
yeah.
people only highlight how good their life is, but they don't. People don't see their full day. You know,
yeah.
and that becomes kind of a you know spiral. You know, you're looking at your likes and the whole nine yards.
Oh, stop! Like that's another thing. Is like those. Like I remember I read this book on like addiction to technology last summer, and it was all about the like your dopamine hits
yeah.
when you get those likes.
Sure,
and like I think everyone kind of lies when they say that they don't care. Like there's a little bit of it when you're like, oh, a lot of people are after liking my follow. That makes me feel good. Like
I'm a big deal.
No, but not even that. But you just feel like. What?
Moral of the story is get your dopamine from carbs and not from just eat your way to happiness.
Don't say that.
James Kenny's messages eat your way to happiness. So
the wrong people.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on
yeah.
and have this kind of spew. I'm
unbelievable.
I really thought we...
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Hopefully at some stage I'll have you back again. So
you're not in prison?
Yeah.
Hopefully not. And then to everyone listening, if you did make it this far, through. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, fair play to you.
There's no so prize. But yeah,
you have gathered knowledge.
Yeah.
And you also got far in life because you have a high attention span.
I hope that you did learn something. I hope there was bits that you found that were you can kind of take and apply to your own life. And if not, if it was just an hour for you to just sit down and just take a break and listen to us talk shite, well then I'm happy to be that thing. But regardless, well, that's us at the Inside Trail, and I will see you all soon.
Ciao.